I take the thoughts on my meditation from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there or just listen. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We said at the beginning of this worship service that our intention tonight is to renew our joy by expressing our laments. And one of the ways in which we're going to do that, the dominant way in which we're going to do that, is that we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for one another. And we're going to pray whatever you would have us pray, whether it be for a physical affliction, whether it be for a relationship that is broken, whether it be for something so mentally taxing or so spiritually draining that you don't know the way forward. We will put no constraints on whatever you might ask us to pray for you. None. That's what we're going to do. Why? Apart from the obvious reasons that when you're desperate, you'll do just about anything, like gather to pray with people in public on a dark and chilly night. But if you were listening to that brief passage, you heard Paul praying or explaining what he was praying for the church at Ephesus. Not just what he was praying, but why he was emboldened to do so. And in the reasons for which he prayed, I find for ourselves three reasons why we might pray for one another for healing and for hope. And the first has to do with power. What you heard Paul pray for was not for the healing of physical affliction. It wasn't for the reconciliation between people. It wasn't for some sort of mental issue that people were facing. It was for a spiritual reality to take so deep root, like a taproot in deep, rich soil. He was praying for that, for only something God could do. And the reason he would pray for something so impossible for humanity is because Paul believed there was a power at work in the world. And if you know the rest of his letter to the church at Ephesus, you know that early in chapter 1, he speaks of that power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he says it's that same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very power that is able to confirm to our hearts that he, in fact, was risen from the dead. That's the power on the basis of which he prays. And it's that same power that was in work in Jesus to bring healing. He manifested an intention and in a will and a strength to push back against the forces of degradation. He manifested a potency in order to speak to and push back everything that was full of pain and anguish for those in whose presence he came. And if brothers and sisters, even Jesus would insist that we ask many and bold things of God, then would you not agree that it is a greater impertinence not to ask of God than to ask of God what is not his will? It's a greater impertinence not to ask than to ask what is not his will. And that's why I have that quote on the front of your bulletin from none other than John Calvin, who said succinctly, but perhaps a bit challenging grammatically, he said this: to know God as the sovereign disposer of all good, inviting us to present our requests and yet not to approach or ask of him, were so far from availing us that it were just as if one told of a treasure were to allow it to remain buried in the ground. If God is good, and he invites us to ask for him good things as a mark of his goodness, then not to ask, not even to ask, is, as John Calvin said, like leaving a treasure buried in the ground. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are praying to God for healing because we believe there is power in God for healing. That's one reason why we pray, because of power. The second is because of love. What Paul prays for the church at Ephesus is not some sort of mystical, ecstatic experience. He is praying that one thing would become so deeply embedded in them that it would be like a spring underground that would burst forth and replenish everything that it touches. And that one thing for which he prays is love. Just love. For it to be rooted and grounded in us. That Jesus himself would distill the entirety of the law in the idea of loving God with your whole heart and loving your neighbor as yourself is proof positive that he believes that love is meant to be central to our nature. That he prayed for such, that he preached such, that he demonstrated such, and that he died to prove such is also proof positive of just how elusive love is for us. And that's why he prays for it. Brothers and sisters, he's not just praying for love to be true at the church at Ephesus so that the church can just get along with each other and act with one heart and mind, as good as that would be. He is praying for love to be rooted and grounded in us because that is the greatest healing there is. You can be entirely of sound body and mind, and yet if you are without love, Paul says, you are nothing. Even if you might be healed from the deepest affliction, coming to a greater grasp of the love of God in Jesus is more enlivening and has more wondrous implications for the human heart than even your greatest affliction. And so tonight, brothers and sisters, we are going to pray for healing boldly and unapologetically. But we are also going to pray for love to take root in us like it never has before. Because in that is hope. In fact, the clearest indicator of anyone having hope is their capacity to love. For that we shall pray. Because, brothers and sisters, I think the implication of Paul praying so mightily and earnestly for love to be rooted and grounded is this, that there is a greater healing to be had in the grasping of his love than even being delivered from any affliction. It's a greater healing. That's why we pray for hope. A hope that's manifested in the capacity for love. There's one last reason he prays and one last reason we're going to pray. And it has to do with the church. Everywhere Paul writes, he's always praying for God's glory, his goodness, his worth, his might, his value, everything, that it would be seen and celebrated and spread in him, through him, and quite in spite of him. And in this prayer, though, he prays for God's glory to be seen, his goodness to be known in the church. That those for whom Christ spent his blood, those to whom God gave a measure of his spirit, that it would be that people who would be witness to and evidence of the goodness of God. It's for his glory in the church. Brothers and sisters, you and I know very well that if you look at history or current events, there are far too many documented instances of people who claim God as their God acting in ways quite diametrically opposed to the heart of God. I know that, and you know that, and Jesus knows that with tears. And yet where the church takes God at his word, God is glorified in that. And so for us tonight to gather together and pray for one another and ask him to heal and renew our hope, that will be the church taking God at his word. and he will be glorified in it. Such that whatever happens tonight, if any of us are healed in some profound way, if any of us have renewed hope and renewed love, we will have taken him at his word, and he will be glorified. And that will mean that this was no waste of time or effort or spirit. The doctrine of our union with Christ tells us that we have come to share in his power and in his love and in the people for whom he died and was raised to prove that love. And so it only makes sense that we would pray together for one another about anything, but especially for healing and especially for hope.